Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on iHeart, Amazon, or wherever you download us from. Radio MD is the most common place where the 50,000 of you who do download us weekly download us from. So thank you very much. Please do tell your friends about us. Rate us weekly. This is 1009B, so, and I do want to remind you the 1020th session will be devoted totally towards longevity, both the A and the B segments. The B, which this one is great guest interviews, and we have a wonderful guest lined up for you today. Amy Tofighi has about as good a pedigree as you can get in the world. And that is, if you look at it, let me ask her to tell us about it. But if you will, she started out with MIT and Johns Hopkins, and then went and completed an internship in internal medicine at Mass General, a neurology residency at both Mass General and Brigham and Women's, and a vascular neurology fellowship at UCLA. What that means is that she is really incredible, and she's an associate professor of neurology at the James and Dorothy Williams Stroke Scholar at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. That's the only downfall, if you will, that's a joke. But in any case, we call USC, if you're in the California system, you hope to keep the USC football team down as well as everything else associated with USC down. But in any case, Amy Tofighi is got to have one of the best books there is in What You Must Know About Strokes. It's on the Amazon website, and as usual, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can get your supplements and vitamins personalized to what you need. You can take the free test at mypersona.com, mypersona.com. Discover vitamins and supplements personalized to your need. If you need something, they will help you get it. If you don't, they will tell you about it. And you can always talk to a nutritionist for free at that site. Now let's go back to Amy Tofighi. And no one is ever prepared for a stroke. It just happens. And when it does, the results can be, and often are, life-altering. So let's talk to Amy. What causes a stroke, and what exactly is it, Amy?
Thanks for having me on the show, Mike. A stroke is a brain attack. So there's two types of strokes. One is an ischemic stroke. That's where you get a blood clot in an artery that leads to the brain and deprives the brain of oxygen. The other type of stroke is the bleeding type of stroke, a hemorrhagic stroke, where a blood vessel bursts in the brain and causes bleeding into the brain. About 85% of strokes are the clot type, the first type, and 15% are the bleeding type.
And so now there is such a thing as a TIA or a what some people call a pre-stroke that gives you a warning. Talk to us about that, and what should people know about that, and what should they know about preventing a stroke?
So a TIA, sometimes also called a mini stroke or a pre-stroke, is basically the same thing as a stroke, but the symptoms don't last. And typically it's caused by transient occlusion or blockage of a blood vessel, and then the blood vessel opens up, blood flow is restored, and the symptoms don't last. What's important about a TIA is that it's a really important warning sign of a stroke, and there's a high risk of a stroke after a TIA. So up to 10% at 2 days, and approximately 20% at 90 days. So if a person has a TIA, they should call 911 and go to the hospital because they're at a high risk of having a stroke. And in addition, strokes can fluctuate, so people can get symptoms, get better, and then worsen. The symptoms of a stroke depend on what part of the brain is affected. And an easy way to remember the symptoms of a stroke is the mnemonic FAST. F is for face, A is for arm, S is for speech, and T is for time to call 911. So you would want to ask somebody to smile to see if their face is drooping, ask them to lift their arms up, and if one side is falling or they can't lift one side up, that's a sign. Speech, you ask them to say something. Is it hard to understand? And finally, time to call 911 is really important because we have time-sensitive treatments for stroke, and many cities have systems in place where the ambulance will actually alert the hospital that a patient with a stroke is coming, and the whole stroke team would be ready to take care of them.
So, Amy, I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, and I'm spoiled by our mobile, if you will, stroke units. So the, but I want to make sure that the audience understands that your book explains this and does this in great detail. The book is called What You Must Know About Strokes, and Amy's last name is spelled T-O-W-F-I-G-H-I. She's a physician at USC. And now, one of the things that you started to explain is that time is really of the essence if one's having these symptoms. How can one, if you live alone, or even if you don't live alone, but the whoever you live with is not there, how do you get help in this case, and what do you look for? In other words, if I were to have a stroke, what would I look for, and could I call for help myself, and how do I tell them where I am if I can't speak very clearly?
So one thing that I do recommend to my patients who live alone is to get a medical alert system such as Life Alert or something where you put it around your neck or around your wrist so that if you fall and can't get up, you're able to push that button. The reason it's so important to get help right away is because we have a saying, time is brain. Every second that goes by, neurons die. And when neurons die, when the cells die, then you're interrupting those networks in the brain. And so our goal is to restore blood flow to the brain as quickly as possible. And we can do that via two ways. One is by giving a clot-busting medication that we give by through an IV, and that actually helps to dissolve the clot. And the second way is actually pulling the clot out of the artery. And both of those treatments are time sensitive, so that's why it's so important to call 911. And for people alone, who live alone especially, it's helpful to have some kind of alert system where you can call for help without having to get a phone.
And so when you call for that, what's likely to happen? I don't know, do many cities have a stroke ambulance where you get a CT scan right locally where you are, and they administer the clot-busting drug there as opposed to at the hospital?
Certain cities cities do have this mobile stroke unit that you're referring to, where they can actually do the CAT scan in the ambulance and start treatment right away. However, most cities throughout the United States don't have that system, but they have a system in place where the paramedics know which hospitals to take patients to. And they take patients to the hospitals that are equipped to give that clot-busting medication. And in some places, depending on the severity of the stroke, they'll take the patient to the hospital that can actually pull the clot out. And this system actually works really well. We call it pre-notification of hospitals. The paramedics call the hospitals ahead of time while they're bringing the patient in, and the entire team gets ready and is ready to go when the patient gets there. That's another reason why we tell why FAST includes time to call 911. Because if you actually have a family member take you to the emergency department or call your doctor, what's going to happen is you'll be sitting in the emergency department waiting, as opposed to going directly to the team that is going to be ready to take care of you.
And now, what is the, I suppose you get patients at a later stage than most people, I would imagine. So when should what are the criteria for being worried about a stroke? You go over these really well as the risk factors for a stroke in the book. And when do you, I suppose, what's the key point of when you should have one of those buttons on your wrist or around your neck that alert medics to come and help you?
So there's five risk factors that are responsible for four out of five strokes of the world. And those five risk factors are high blood pressure, smoking, poor diet, being physically inactive, and being obese, particularly having belly fat. So those five factors are responsible for four out of five strokes, and actually 9 out of 10 hemorrhagic strokes or bleeding type strokes. The other factors that are important are age. The older you are, the higher risk you are, as well as an abnormal heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation.
And so who should... in other words, if someone has treated blood pressure but is obese or is obese and has diabetes, should they automatically get one of these devices around their wrist if they live alone or if their partner is away a bunch of the time?
It's always a good idea to, if you have risk factors, and particularly if you live alone, to have an alert system, just because you don't know when it's going to happen, and you may not get any warning signs. The more risk factors you have, the higher risk you are. And the other factors, like you mentioned, are diabetes and abnormal cholesterol, which are also important risk factors for stroke.
Now, how often, what is the number of strokes we have in the United States? Let's just say in a year, and how common are they in people over the age of 75?
So we have about 800,000 strokes a year in the United States. What this means is that every 40 seconds, someone has a stroke. Stroke is the leading cause of disability in the United States. And it's the second leading cause of death in the world. It's the fifth leading cause of death in the United States.
Now, one of the interesting things that I found most interesting about your book is that your co-author, Ms. Stevens, who's a health writer, Laura Stevens, herself lived through a stroke and rehabilitated. How did you and she meet? And how has her rehabilitation gone through the process, and how can she write a book while going through a stroke?
So I was really fortunate to meet Laura Stevens, and we were able to partner on this book. She had a stroke a couple of years ago. She's a dietitian by training and a health writer, and she had actually led a very healthy life. She was physically active. She ate healthy, and she had a stroke. And she really, her clinicians told her that a big part of her recovery being so good was that she really was healthy with respect to her nutrition and her physical activity, and this helped her with her recovery. And they encouraged her to write a book. She reached out to me because my focus in my research is on stroke prevention. I have been focusing for several years on how to improve diet, physical activity, and lifestyle habits after a stroke, because it has such a profound impact on preventing stroke and can really have a profound impact for reducing the burden of stroke in the world.
And now, how did she get rehabilitated? What area, I suppose the question is, what areas of her body were affected by the stroke, and how did she recover so well that she could write a book about it?
So she had a stroke that affected her strength on one side, and she went through intense physical, occupational, and speech therapy to the point where now she really has barely any symptoms of stroke left. And that really highlights one of the remarkable aspects of the brain is that it can recover over time. So if pathways are interrupted by a stroke, new pathways can develop. Basically, the brain develops new networks of cells. And the key to improving recovery and enhancing recovery is repeated practice. So in addition to therapy, she kept practicing things over and over again and had clear goals. The other issue that this highlights is that strokes are variable. They can have different sizes. They can affect different parts of the brain. So one person's stroke recovery will not be the same as another's. And so you can have people who recover completely from a stroke and have no symptoms left. And there's some people who may have residual symptoms and functional problems. But the key throughout all of any patient who has had a stroke is when they get through the initial period where they might have medical complications, once they get through that hump, they're going to improve. And that's the key for anybody who's had a stroke or knows someone who's had a stroke to know that they're going to get better.
We've been talking with Amy Tofighi, T-O-W-F-I-G-H-I, the author of What You Must Know About Strokes. It's available on Amazon, How to Recover from a Stroke and Prevent Another One. It's published by Square One. Obviously, as you could tell from the outstanding knowledge that Amy has displayed and the great breadth of detail she's been able to give us on this interview, she and this book are outstanding. Again, the book is called What You Must Know About Strokes, STROKES, and easiest is to look up the author, Tofighi, T-O-W-F-I-G-H-I, on Amazon or wherever you get your books. An outstanding book, and probably one that everyone over the age of 60 should have, because it is so well, or if you have a relative over the age of 60, or someone with high blood pressure, or smokes, or obesity, and any of those sizable risk factors, it's a great book to talk about how to prevent a stroke or how to recover from one. We are, of course, sponsored by Persona Nutrition. If you're confused about vitamins, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. Imagine supplements personalized and customized just for you. You can visit mypersona.com and take the free online assessment or talk to a nutritionist. It's all free. And they deliver the packs. If you have more than one thing you need, they deliver it in a morning and an evening pack so that you can get a convenient and easy way to take your vitamins and supplements. That's at mypersona.com. Amy, thank you very much. This is Dr. Tofighi. I'm calling Amy, T-O-W-F-I-G-H-I, the author of What You Must Know About Strokes. This has been podcast number 1009B, the B always the latest guests, which have great information for you. The A, of course, the medical news of the week, and we've been trying to keep it non-COVID lately, the medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again. Thanks, Luis, for engineering. And Dr. Tofighi, thank you for being so great at what you do. Spectacular interview. Thank you very much.